Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, are there team updates for us?
No, nothing out of character. Guys are obviously working. Got a midsummer check-in coming up here Sunday, so guys are on their own to get their numbers in and see where at with some of their lifting numbers. So excited about that. The summer's rolling. Guys are kind of trickling in and out, so it's good. From a staff-wise, coaching-wise, our guys are grinding through. Half the time we're working recruiting on 2024s. The other half we're obviously game planning and getting ourselves ready for the first couple of opponents of the year. So other than that, it's business as usual.
That's what we'd like to hear. Well, let's jump into fan questions. We'll start with Tom. He says he would think that time management is one of the hardest things that a coach has to deal with during games. Do you find that to be true?
Very, very, very. One thing I had to take a hard look in the mirror last year with our first Saints Go game. I had to chew on that one and own it. I didn't do a good job with the clock. Some of the reasons why made some staff changes as far as it allowed me to really keep an eye on the clock and manage the game better. So he is absolutely correct. And time management is a real thing. It's something that we constantly need to be talking about as a staff. So we can come out on the other side of a game like that where the clock is not managed correctly, and that's 100% on me. So,
Coach, I have to ask because I figure some games you come into and you think that you have a great opportunity to score a lot of points. Some games you might look are going to be a more defensive battle. Do you kind of scout the game in a sense about how you're going to manage the clock depending upon who the opponent might be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to be a lot better at it this year, but we are constantly talking as offense, defense staff, special teams, how we want to play this game, how do we think this game is going to be, what do we need to do to win the game, what's important, how does the wind play a factor in it, how the sun plays a factor. Some fields are east-west, some fields are north-south, so, depending on what time the game is, where the sun's going to be located, all those things you can talk about as a staff, but definitely the clock and, we need to be running the football, or how much tempo do we do? Is this a tempo team we're playing? How does that affect us? It's so many little ins and outs, nuances of clock management and how you want to play a game and that you got to talk about before that thing even starts, before you even tee it up. So.
Interesting. Jeremy would like to know, do you feel that after years of debate, the rule regarding what is a catch and what is not is finally resolved?
Yeah, I think officials and there's always going to be bang-bang plays, right? There's times where I can remember, Ryder Hutton catches the ball in the end zone, and he didn't call the catch, So there's going to be things that come up in the game. And one thing I'm always constantly on my staff about is, these referees ain't trying to make mistakes, and they're not trying to screw the game up. So, they're going to miss some calls, and we're going to get some calls. So, yeah, I think they have a catch figured out.
Aaron would like to know, he says, Coach, I hear this terminology used a lot during games. Would you please explain to me what the difference is between strong side and weak side for a defense?
Strong side and weak side for defense. Well, I would say this. Defensively, I haven't heard that much. When you're talking about strong side and a weak side, I'd say this, because everybody's defense is different. Sometimes some people might put their bigger defensive linemen to the tight end, and maybe they're talking about that. Sometimes people put their bigger linebacker to the tight end. Your boundary safety is usually a little bit bigger, thicker kid because, a lot of teams are running the ball into the boundary. Especially when you're playing field and boundary defenses, a lot of teams will run that ball away from the overhang or away from the plus linebacker. I hope I'm not talking too much football terms, but, as far as a strong and a weak side of a defense, is more so related to, I think where people are putting their heavier bodies or larger bodies. I'll keep it at that.
Interesting. Sean would like to know, what are some of the lessons that young people can learn from playing football?
Wow, man, where do I start? I would say to paint in broad strokes, time management, goal setting, how to deal with different ethnic groups, people from all over the country or different religions, different backgrounds and beliefs, work ethic, toughness. There's a certain level of toughness you have to have to make it 4 years in a football program that's going to transfer over to life. Right? A lot of people think life's easy. Life's hard. Right? That's why college football is – and I shouldn't say college football. Any level of football is a great teacher. Communication, how you communicate with your peers, your coaches. player to coach, coach to player, all those things matter. But those are just some broad strokes, man, with some things that you're going to get from playing football. So
we have two questions for you from Trevor. The first is, he says, Coach, I really love these types of questions because I love to hear what people's answers are. So who do you think is the best football player of all time?
Man, the best of all time. And I would have to say, wow, man, that's such an opening question. I mean, Jerry Rice is really, really good of all time. Man, that's a tough one. I don't know. It's subjective, right? Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, Tom Brady. I mean, just based off of the rings and the Super Bowls he's been to, I mean, I'll just kind of leave. And I'll leave it there with those guys. But to say one of all time, that's really tough for me to answer.
Yeah, I roll with the Payton-Brown combination. I think that's right up there, too. He would also like to know, he says, I know you're going to say Philadelphia is the best football city in the U.S., so what is the second best?
I mean, I guess I got to go off of what I've seen with my own eyes. And I think the Vikes, I think the Minneapolis St. Paul Twin Cities, they do a good job with their teams. So I would say Minneapolis is a great sports city, man. It is. It really is, man. So I'd say Minneapolis.
Our buddy Andre returns and would like to know, he says, Coach, how confident are you in the Eagles returning to the Super Bowl this season?
Dre, it's good to hear from you, man. Glad you're still listening. Man, I don't know, man. It's tough. I want to just jump out and say yeah, but, I mean, it is. First of all, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl and then to do it 2 years in a row. And I'm not going against my Eagles, man, but the chances are tough. But, you know, I'm hoping that they can do it, man. And Nick Sirianni is a good ball coach. We got a good team coming back. A lot of great defensive players from Georgia on the team. Hopefully we can get that thing to gel. Quarterback is good. You know, he's back. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, nothing. Now we did lose coordinators. That matters, right? That matters. Everybody's got the pretty much same amount of talent in NFL, but now, you know, you got two guys stepping in the coordinator role, so a little concerned about that. But, again, Coach Sirianni, he will get that all tied in together. So
we have two questions from you from Tracy. The first is, what excites you about getting out of bed every day?
Good question. Just the challenge of different challenges of my job. You know, just coming here. You know, to understanding, what we got to attack first. Like some days I'm attacking training camp schedule, how to tweak that to make it better for our players. Another day I'm looking at recruiting, where are we going to recruit? You know, what are we looking for in recruits? You know, another day I'm looking at fundraising. So just the different challenges that this job presents itself each and every day.
She'd also like to know, what daily tasks really drain on you?
Daily tasks, just when you're dealing with the budget money. I'd say that. And you just want to make sure, you're doing the right thing with the money that's not yours, but it's for the players in the program. You want to make sure I'm always being conscious of what I'm doing with that and how we're spending dollars and how we're allocating dollars. Because again, man, it's a big time deal when you're running a program. So
Ian has the most important question of the week. He'd like to know, what does the coach grill up for 4th of July?
Well, Coach Taylor hasn't grilled anything for 4th of July in the last 2 years. I've been down at my cousin's house in Florida, and he's done a bunch of – he does a lot of jerk chicken and ribs. Usually a lot of chicken and ribs is what we do on the 4th of July. What he does, I kind of retired from grilling in July. I've been sneaking down to Florida these last two July 4th, and I'll be down there this July 4th. So
Amanda would like to know, what is Coach Taylor's love language?
That's a great question. That's a good question. I don't know. I have no clue. I've never done one of those tests.
And what are our words of wisdom for the week?
Well, a couple things, real quick. Last week, I got stumped on the show, and I thought about it. You know, biggest risk. Somebody asked that last week. The biggest risk that ever taken, and I'd probably say it was leaving Bucknell, which was a Division I school, as a position coach, to come out to Hamlin University and to a Division III school and be a defensive coordinator. And that was a big risk. You had to really think that one out. What was the best for my career? What was the best for my family situation? That was a big risk to go from a higher level to a lower level, and it has worked itself out tremendously. And I have no regrets about it, but it was a risk. the second thing before we get to words of wisdom, just, you know, acknowledging Juneteenth. I didn't talk about that today on the show, but nobody asked any questions. But, you know, that is the day when, you know, slaves back in the day found out that, you know, slavery was over. And that was a big deal for the African American population in America. So today is Juneteenth. Obviously, we celebrate every June 19th. So encourage anybody to get out there, and if you can't get to something, maybe, you know, you do some research and you know, find out about what that day really, what really meant for Black people in America and back in that day. And words of wisdom is, you know, I would just say, with ending on Juneteenth, saying, you know, just treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, I'm a big believer in that. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and I think the world will be a better place. So,
love it. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, man. Thanks for listening.